This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Hello, everybody. This is Pete Corielli, and I just wanted to start this show off by saying sorry about the long gap in time between the last show and this show. As most of you know, Sebastian went on his delayed honeymoon for 18 days to Italy and Gay Paris, and DJ Lou was also over in Europe following Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam all around Leeds. Meanwhile, Jimmy from Boston was waiting to lay down his phone messages, and Corielli was just waiting. By the way, I'm enclosing a little conversation Sebastian and I had just to show you the level of discussion that went into how we would possibly handle keeping the show going while he was away in Europe. Enjoy the show, man. Thanks for bearing with us. Good to be back.
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah.
Are you at home?
Yeah.
Damn, I am too. I wonder why it's a little in and out.
I don't know.
We got to get back to, like you said, sleeping with Sebastian. Again, I'm lazy too with my writings. What?
Your writings. Yeah, we'll turn it up a notch.
Are you bringing your computer?
I am, but I don't know how much it's going to get turned on.
I hear you. It is your honeymoon. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What?
I hear
you. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? Yeah, exactly. We got the let love rule.
We got the let love rule.
It's Jimmy from Boston. So, Petey, did you go and have a nice little sleepover with your best friend? Did you and your best friend go and watch the Boom Booms in the Sky on the 4th of July? I mean, of all the auntsy shit you've ever said, kid. He my best friend, Biscuit, my best friend. You're an adult. You're a grown-ass man. Call him by his name. Enough of this, he's my best friend bullshit. You're not a 12-year-old girl, you bouncy bastard. Later.
Pete and Sebastian Show coming back to you. Episode 129. What's up, Sebastian? How are you?
Do you feel like a little lackadaisical in the air today?
I do. I mean,
why is that?
Lazy, hazy days of summer, I suppose. Anywhere between July 4th and Labor Day weekend, it's just, man, I may be there, I may not, you know, like, who knows?
Yeah, moving at a snail's pace today. Now, this is airing while I'm in Italy.
Correct.
Right? So, right now, I'm preparing for the launch. And when you go on vacation, do you get a bunch of new stuff? Are you the type of guy who maybe go get some new socks or maybe underwear, new pair of shorts, or do you just go with what you got?
Come on, I pretty much go with what I got. I mean, this isn't the first day of school, man. But you know, I mean, I may buy a pair of shoes, or if I'm going on a beach vacation and I don't have great flip-flops or great shades, yeah, let me buy a couple of accessories. That's not unheard of.
Yeah, I guess today I went and bought a nice pair of sunglasses.
There you go.
Got some socks. Maybe I get a couple shorts today. You know, freshen it up for the trip.
Now, what color are your shades? Are they white rimmed, framed by any chance?
White? Come on, man.
What do you mean, come on? I feel like I've seen you with the white watch, and there's a part of you that sometimes wants to just go so Italian with your outfits. I could feel it. Lana got you away from it, but you really, you know, you'd wear soccer sneakers, European sneakers, and, you know, So when you're over there, you can embrace that. All them Roman guys, they wear like pegged pants and fucking shoes in the middle. It's your stuff.
No, this I got a nice nice sunglass.
What kind? What kind? Ray-Bans?
Tom Ford. Picked up a nice pair of Tom Fords over at Barney's yesterday.
He's got big shades, right?
No, not big, round, very European look. I'm really proud of the purchase, to be honest with you.
You trying to blend in when you're over there?
Well, you know, I don't know. Lana's got an unbelievable eye for style. And, you know, I could try on 7 sunglasses that I pick out, and they don't look right. She picks out one. The first one she picks out, I put it on. Beautiful.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one. I don't know. She's like a savant when it comes to picking out clothes.
Yeah, well, your woman knows you better than you know yourself when it comes to wardrobe, man.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I got that. And
what else you got?
I'm not a big short guy. I don't wear shorts a lot.
Well, it's
not
really.
Do you?
No, I mean, I do when I have to, but I don't like to either because I just can't figure out the footwear with the short.
Yeah, the footwear is a real, you know, it's a toughie because do you go with a boat shoe?
I'm not, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think I'd wear a boat shoe on a goddamn boat. I mean, I'm not a boat shoe guy, right? And then when you got your ankles showing, it's afeminine.
Yeah, it's a little feminine. I'm a little worried about, you know, I do have a boat shoe.
Yeah, but
I want like a comfortable boat shoe I could maybe walk around in. Because what are you going to, you're not going to wear sneakers with a pair of shorts going through Tuscany.
That's the problem, right? What are you going to be in Nikes? You look like a little boy on recess.
Yeah, especially in Italy. The people are going to look at you. Look at this American. Look at this slob.
Now, your boat shoes are the call. Italian loafers or something like that. Maybe, I mean, if you really want to slide right in, get the boat shoe loafer with the tassel.
Ooh, yeah. I used to wear a Giorgio Bruttini in 1988 with no sock and a tassel. Ooh, man.
I mean, but honestly, minus the tassel, the loafer really probably as a man over 25 years old is the best call with shorts. Because, you know, your flip-flops, it's just flip-flops only work in a backyard or a back deck, you know?
Yeah, no, flip-flops is a definite no-no. Any guy out there knows I got a huge problem with men that wear flip-flops. And flip-flops is something that you can't really walk around and explore a city with.
No, absolutely not, man. You can't do a light jog in a flip-flop. It's just, we don't even need to get into the details of why the flip-flop is a nightmare in that situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just doing my my prep work. And here's something. I picked up Lana over at the nail salon the other day. And I want to ask, this is primarily to the women out there. What the hell is going on with nail salons? Why are they so packed? Have you noticed maybe over the last 5 to 7 years, every woman now is in a nail salon getting their nails done?
Well, I know Jackie loves to have it done, and it's, you know, for a lot of women, it's a little treat, you know, because it's still relatively cheap for, you know, what, $30 for a nanny and pedi, $40 at the max, and you get your feet rubbed. But a friend of mine said recently that she went into the Upper West Side to get a manicure and pedicure in Manhattan, and there was a line, and get this, everybody in the seat was a man. So that's becoming a problem, too. She's like, every man in Manhattan now is getting the mani and pedi.
Well, listen, I've gone down that road. I don't mind getting a manicure pedicure to clean it up. Right?
God, bouncy. But go ahead. I pride myself. I've never sat in a chair.
How about your father? Has he?
No. God, man, with his wooden toes, they probably wouldn't even let him. Has anybody ever been shut down? Have they ever just said, no, up. I ain't fucking clipping that shit.
That's what I want to know. I want to know if anybody out there has ever went into a salon, a nail salon, and witnessed one of the nail ladies going, we can't do this.
What if you come in, you ever do the sneaker with no sock, walk around all day? Oh, man, you take that off, kapow. Daddy's home.
Yeah, I'm not into the no sock in a shoe. If anybody's doing that, I suggest you go home and smell your shoe. And if it smells anything like the way I think it might, burn it.
Oh, it smells so bad. Even when you take your shoe off, if your finger gets caught on the bottom of your foot, your fingertip smells.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, and I know you already frowned upon them, but I got a pair of these vintage Converse sneakers, you know, with the rubber tip.
Yeah.
Now, they're all right to wear with a pair of jeans, especially with jeans, because I don't do bell bottoms, but I don't do peg legs either. So most of the sneakers covered. 4th of July, I need to go. I don't know what to go watch the fireworks with. I got my shorts on. I put on a goddamn Converse. Jackie talks me into it with no socks. I come downstairs. I don't even know what I look like, bro. It was so embarrassing. I had to go back upstairs, figure out a whole new outfit to go. I ended up just going with a pair of Nikes with ankle socks. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you're going to wear shorts with a sneaker and or a boat shoe during the summer, I highly suggest you go and get yourself a nice pair of no-show socks.
Yeah, that's what I had. Yeah, exactly.
So you don't even see the sock. I'm not talking about the sock where you could see just by the ankle. I'm talking it's almost like a ballerina slipper.
Right. I can see, but don't you? I've had both. I don't like that one because then they think I'm not wearing socks. And again, that's like, you got to have just a little sock coming over the ankle, no?
I don't know, man. I think if you know that you got socks on, I think that's all that matters. Because you know who did that to me? What's his name over at Gotham? The guy that runs the door. Why is his name slipping me?
Cyrus.
He had a no look on, and I go, "What do you got? No socks on?" And he goes, "Absolutely not." And he pulled off his shoe, and he donned the ballerina slipper.
Yeah, that's nice. I got a pair of those. Those are nice.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. They're easy to lose in the wash.
Very easy. Very. Oh, where's the show gone?
I don't know.
Ballerina slippers. What are we doing?
Beginning, middle, end. Facts, details, condense, plot, tell it.
So yeah, I'm packing. I'm taking one bag. Now, listen, it's an 18-day excursion. What do you pack? Do you do laundry on a trip like this?
I'm still focused on 18 days, bro. I'm going to start a new cast. I not only will I start a new cast, it might break into the top 200. That's how long you're gone. We are shutting down. No. What was the question? Seriously.
No.
Packing?
Do you pack 5-6 things and just do a repeat? Or what do you do? I mean, you got to take 19 pairs of underwear, right?
No, I would absolutely do the, I would pack for about 6 days, knowing halfway through, one third through, I'm going to get my clothes laundered either at the hotel or if there's some place that I do it myself. Because 18 days, I mean, if you're gone 18 days, what's the big deal to take an hour and a half to sip a cappuccino in a goddamn local Italiano laundromat? It's kind of when in Rome, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to spend my vacation doing laundry.
I don't want to spend my vacation lugging around 20 fucking underwear. I mean, whether I got someone loading them in or out to the car, at the end of the day, I'm the one opening up the bag in the hotel. Oh, that's a lot of underwear. At the very least, I would just buy underwear when I'm there.
Yeah, no, it's, I got some nice stuff there. But again, it's like I'm looking at the exchange rate, man. It's like $1.40 for 1 euro.
What do you care?
I don't know why I'm talking about euro right now. I'm going and I'm spending. Hold on, I got a vacuum going. I got to shut this shit down. Hold on, one second.
That's okay.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm back.
I hear you. So what does the lovely lady just do something else cleaning-wise and maybe vacuum later?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice of her, man.
Yeah, she goes and goes somewhere else, and then she'll come back to the vacuum.
Did she do the old house?
No. This is she's fantastic, this one. Unbelievable.
So she's new. You didn't bring the one who cleaned the old house over to the new house.
No, no. We switched it out. Switched it out. We're looking for some a better woman, and we got her.
Nice.
Really felt, happy with it.
You felt the last lady probably couldn't handle a larger home?
Well, to be honest with you, the last lady was very sweet. She's brought her, like, whole family to do the job, and sometimes, you know, we'd get, you know, different people. It's like a rotation. I'm like, how many people are in the family?
Oh, yeah, no. I want the same person every week. Too many people coming and going.
Yeah. I just need a set person to come in and do the job. And I don't need, 17 people rotating throughout the home.
Yeah, it's too much. All right, now instead of doing Italian take, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit here, seeing as we speak, you are Nazis airs on TV. You're overseas, but before you go, I figure we'll do Italy news, all right? We'll do our Italian take on things going on in Italy that you should probably know about as you head into that wonderful boot country.
All right.
First of all, the Vatican Bank, which has been marred with a lot of scandal, after everything has been fixed and put back in order, it's basically broke, man. The Vatican Bank and the Vatican apparently had $86 million last year, and now it just broke today in the news. They're down to $2.9 million in the bank.
The Vatican?
Yeah, they have a bank. The Vatican has a bank that they run, and the bank is going bankrupt.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought the Vatican just had an endless stream of wealth.
That's what I'm saying. When you get off the plane and you're walking around, let's say you're in a nice restaurant, you don't want to blurt out something, you're being funny, going, think this is nice, I wonder how they're eating in the Vatican. Because they'll be looking at you going, Vatican's going fucking broke, look at this tourist.
What are they doing over there?
I don't know. I don't know. Are you going to go see the Pope, by the way?
No, we're not going to Rome.
You're not going to Rome? I keep bringing up Rome, and you keep going, yeah, no.
No Rome. It's Amalfi, Tuscany, Venice, Paris.
Oh, you're going straight to the Amalfi coast.
Oh, yeah, we're starting it off in Amalfi. What I plan on doing is checking in, telling Lana, get your bathing suit on, let's hit the pool, get a nice glass of, you know what, maybe I'm going to do a little Campari.
Give it a shot.
Are you, listen, have you ever had Campari on the rocks with a little, we call it in the bartending business, the garnish is a flag. That is a slice of orange with a cherry and a spike through the cherry and the orange. It's called a flag.
No, and then what do you do? Do you take both of the flag, the cherry and the orange, and put it in the drink?
Yeah, you just let it rest there and let the Campari kind of soak up the citrus.
Yeah.
It's a nice little touch.
Is Campari the one that, the bottle that has the bottom half is straw?
Straw?
You know, like wicker when you
buy. Oh, no, it's a long bottle.
Oh, okay,
it's red. It's red. Campari's red, and no, I don't know what one's the straw bottom. Used to have that in a lot of large kind of Jeroboams of wine.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So are you staying in Positano?
No, we're staying in Ravello.
Okay. All right.
Up in the mountain.
I would imagine you're gonna make a trek down the Positano one day, right?
It's Positano, by the way.
I was there a week, man. I think it's Positano. Positano.
All right, well, I'll get the correct pronunciation while I'm there, but I'm guessing it's Positano.
Have you been there?
I have not been there. Last time my father and I went, we did like a boat along the Amalfi Coast, and we saw Positano from the boat. But this time, I think we're going to go to the actual city.
Right. I think you're like either 20 minutes or 40 minutes, but a beautiful drive from Ravello to Pazzi.
Did you go?
To Ravello?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, and I regret it, man. We went to the Isle of Capri for a day, which was great. And otherwise, we hung out on the beach every day in Positano. But nah, I should have. We both say that. And we rented a car and we drove from Rome, so we drove in on those goddamn cliffs, man. I don't know where the fuck we were going. But
oh, yeah, no, those cliffs, they're dangerous, man.
Oh, my God. No regrets, though, man. What a trip. I'm glad I drove. But, yeah, Positano, man, you guys will have a nice time spending it. It's just really hopping, you know what I'm saying? Especially on, like, a Saturday night. It's just a perfect place to spend a day and a night and then head home afterwards.
Yeah, no, I can't wait, man. God, I can't wait. So, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do the Tuscany thing. We're going to do some, visit some wineries. There's a, my father-in-law keeps telling us about this restaurant in Gubbio where they got, he's telling about this plate that they make. It's a hot plate with butter on the bottom of the plate, then pasta, then truffles, and then butter again, and then pasta. It just sounds like a pasta pie.
Holy sh! Dude, you're gonna better watch the old ticker when you're over there.
I might have a stroke midway through the damn thing.
And what are you gonna do about your gluten situation? You're just gonna deal with the pain? Just go for it?
Oh, yeah, ain't no gluten situation on this thing. Although, listen, yeah. You know, I don't think they even have gluten over there.
What do you mean, like in their bread?
Yeah, last time I went to Italy, I didn't have any problems with any of the pastas, the breads. I don't think they use any preservatives. There's something about the food there that I don't have the same reaction I do in the United States. I don't know what it is.
What if you hit in America, let's say this happens. You come back home, you get a phone call, and basically they want you to play the sidekick, the neighbor, in a sitcom, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll get episodic pay, good money, and the stars, maybe even another comic or whatever. And you're just about to accept that. Suddenly you get a phone call from a production company in Italy, and they want to make a guaranteed deal with you for a full season, 22-episode run of a sitcom, guaranteed to go to air, about you deciding to go live overseas with Lana so she can pursue painting and you can pursue your real heritage. Do you take that? It's your show. You own it. The Sebastian Goes to Italy show. Get the phone! thank God you turned off the vacuum so you could hear the phone and ignore it.
I don't know who the hell that was. I'm going to Italy, man. I go to Italy. I set up shop for a year, and I come back. I mean, come on, man. You wouldn't go to Italy for a year with your family?
Not if I had a chance to do a sitcom where I'm in L.A. every day playing the sidekick. I don't think I could, man. I mean, I'd love to, but what is it going to be? Oh,
hold on 1 second. Hold on.
You doing a show from Grand Central Station over there?
Cheers. Hello. I no want that you calling no more in my number. Okay? If you need something, come in person and hear my answer. Said people.
We're back. Sorry, we had a little interruption there. I had a guy coming to pick up some. And this brings up a topic. A guy came to pick up some lawn chairs in the backyard. Now, I didn't know the guy was coming today. Does your wife clue you in on stuff that's happening, or do people just show up and I got to figure it out?
No, I got a general idea. She'll be like, leave this thing out or leave the door unlocked. So-and-so's coming by.
Yeah, sometimes she just doesn't fill me in, and then I got to guess what the guy's going to pick up. This guy could have just robbed my lawn chairs, for all I know.
Isn't that wild? Like, a good con man could knock on the right door and just say, like, hey, yeah, no, your husband told me to stop by and get the car.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, you got the keys? For what? The car.
Oh, man.
Why you need the key? Your wife, she called because the brakes aren't working. Oh, yeah, okay, here. And the car's gone.
Car's gone, man. My mother-in-law, she's like, Jackie's mom is like really, really sweet lady, you know? And totally, you know, still has all the faculties and stuff. It's not like she's some like old feeble woman. And about a couple months ago, a girl knocked on the door. Girl was like 19, 20 years old. And my mother-in-law was like, and she was cute, you know, and she was dressed nice and stuff. And she had tears in her eyes. And she said that she needed some money. And she pointed to a car out front. She's like, I ran out of gas and I wouldn't do this. But I mean, I'll come back if you can lend me some money. And my mother-in-law is like, do you have a gas can? And she's like, I don't. And she's like, let me get you a gas can out of the barn. And then the girl was asking for like $5. My mother-in-law gave her like 15 or 20. And we were giggling about it when she told us and stuff. And then sure as shit, about 2 weeks later, it was in the local paper. The girl got busted two towns over in Jamestown because she was pulling a scam all over. Who would... I'm sorry, if someone knocked on your door, cute or not, girl, tears in her eyes, I need some money, my car, you see that car right there, it's mine.
Yeah, no, I just had a knock on the door about an hour and a half ago, two guys. I open up the door. Yeah, like right away, I'm thinking, that's it, I'm going to get murdered. It's a murder, right on the porch. What's up? Yeah, hi, we're just two real estate guys, work for Keller Williams, and new to the neighborhood, and if you know of any of your friends or anybody that's looking to move into the neighborhood, we'd love to, you know, help them out, and here's our card, and this and that. Isn't the door-to-door thing done by now?
That is, what are you, an Avon lady?
Yeah.
That's like, done.
Coming up to somebody's door now, it should just... It's almost can't you beat the shit out of somebody if they're on their you're on the porch?
I mean, we live in a time where people knock on the door and it's like, what is going on? I will say this, man. Anyone whose business gets to the point where they're doing the door-to-door knock, they're on their last leg.
Yeah, no. When you got to look at your business partner and go, what do we do? And the only thing you could come up with is we got to go door to door.
You have already even done the guy for $5, as you joked about, who spins the sign on the corner. That didn't work. That didn't even work.
Yeah, this is the spinning the sign. This has to be the last draw. However, I'll tell you, I used to sell satellite dishes, Dish Network, and I came to a point where I was doing so bad at it, I did a step worse than the door-to-door. I was flyering cars.
Oh, really?
Oh, you want to, I'll take you back, 2003, a July summer day, 95 degrees, and I go to Office Depot to cut 200 flyers and start canvassing neighborhoods. Flyer in the cars. What a man. Low point in my life, man.
Wow. I don't think in the history of my life I've ever pulled a flyer off my car and contacted it.
Neither have I.
It's littering. It's you littered. You spend your July afternoon littering.
I just littered 200 pieces of paper. Instead of throwing them on the floor, I put them on cars.
Holy shit. Yeah, they don't work, man.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing the bounce back, the resiliency you have to have in this business, and in any business to get through those tough times, man.
I know, but man, business like show business specifically is just so... I mean, I was talking to Jay Moore about him getting the part in Jerry Maguire, as you know, the guy who fires Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And he auditioned for two other parts in the movie, didn't get either part. Then they brought him in for that, and, you know, he's telling me how prepared he was, and he read once, and he goes, and I knew I had it. And I'm like, how did you know? And he goes, because Tom Cruise leaned back and looked at Cameron Crowe and just kind of nodded, and Cameron Crowe nodded back. And he goes, but the thing is, they had already offered the part to Luke Wilson, because Luke and Owen Wilson had just did that bottle rocket shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they had to, they loved what Jay did so much, they had to call Luke Wilson and take the part away from him. So it's if Luke Wilson can have a part taken away after it's... I do not believe I have anything until they yell action, and I'm still fucking standing there.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't count your chickens, man. I mean, I'm telling you, in this business, you have to literally be on set, camera rolling, and then you could call home and go, I think I got the part.
Yeah, but even then, it's like you could be halfway through the dailies. I mean, I did a pilot once. We had 2 weeks to rehearse, which is unheard of. They usually say you only have 1 week. But at the end of the first week, we come back Monday, and like the one guy who plays the neighbor, I'm like, where's your wife? And he's like, oh, I'm divorced and single now. I'm like, oh my God, they fucking fired her halfway through rehearsals. And I thought she was fantastic. Jeez.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, in our business, too, they don't never let you see it coming, man.
Oh, no, it's a blind side, man.
Yeah, total blind side.
What's up? Came here to let you go. Pardon me? Came here to fire you, Jerry. It's real. You should say something. The crowded restaurants, so there won't be a scene. Ungrateful.
You did this to yourself. You said fewer clients, you put it all down on paper. Jesus Christ. What about me? You know what I went through, knowing I was going to have to fire my mentor? Carrying that around in my head for a week? Could you get past yourself for a second? Jesus.
You'll lose.
You want it smaller.
Oh, I'm over it. Now I want all my clients and yours too. Whatever.
So anyway, back to Italian news. Syria, as you know, had chemical weapons that USA, USA fucking took care of making sure it got shut down. Now, the USA is in charge of taking these chemical weapons from Syria and sending them out to sea and making them, as they call it, inert. So, right now, the chemical weapons have been shipped to Italy off the coast of Calabria, the Calabria port. Are you familiar with that?
So, Calabria, it's in Sicily.
Okay, they are in Sicily, in Calabria.
Yeah.
And apparently, people are protesting left and right because they don't want these chemical weapons coming through their country. But I just find it ironic that when America needs to ship chemicals that can kill millions, who do they trust to hold on to the shit until they get there to take it? The Italians.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
What are you going to do? Give it to the French? By the time you get there, they'll be like, oh, oui, oui, chez, chez, we were fucking and eating bread.
It'd be stolen. It'd be stolen.
Totally.
Yeah, no, you give it to the Italians. And I don't know if you've seen the Italian, last time I was there, I took a look at the Italian police. What they wear as a police outfit, I'd wear on a Saturday night to dinner.
What is it? Isn't it? I don't remember. Like a...
Oh, God. Listen, those of you that are near a computer, Google Italian police officer and do images and take a look at what they wear. The hat alone, phenomenal.
Hold on. I'm checking it out.
Yeah. Just type it in.
What am I typing in? Italian police uniform?
Yeah, actually, it pops right up. The Italian police officers. And just go to images. They got a blue one guy. Some of it is blue pant, red stripe. And some of it's black pant, red stripe. But the outfit alone is phenomenal.
Let me see these. Oh. Oh, that's sharp.
It's almost like a, I don't know if you're looking, the SWAT team wears like a beret. Literally looking at this.
Yeah, man, I see that. Sharp.
It almost makes me want to join the Italian police force.
Oh, man, look at these guys. Oh, you see these guys with the masks on? That's
no.
Some scary shit. They're escorting.
Italian police with masks.
Yeah, they're escorting a, you know, what I don't like.
Oh, yeah. So I'm seeing that.
I don't like the white belt on the Italian police officer, though. I don't like white on a man. I don't like white.
Yeah, I know. You got a problem with the white.
Now, look at it. It's like, it's just coming at me. Looks like a Star Trek belt or something.
Yeah, no, it looks like a stormtrooper.
That's too much, man. It's a little too sailory. The outfit's a little too sailory for me. I'm not going to lie to you.
What about the white billy club? You seeing that?
I'm seeing. Let me see. I don't see any white billy club. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. That's something.
I've never seen a white billy club.
No, I haven't, man. God, just looking at these images, though, it just seems cooler there. You know what I mean?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, man, it does.
It just seems like they do it right.
I know. I don't know, man. USA, baby, don't forget it. Don't ever forget it.
Did you see the Lamborghini they got as a police car?
I did see that.
Is that a nice polizia?
All right, back to Italian news. Berlusconi, who didn't you meet or were going to meet that time? You told us.
Well, I didn't meet him. We went to his party uninvited. We got kicked out.
So what did he get arrested for?
I don't know what the charges were. Was it fraud?
I don't know what it was, but I know he started his first day of community service today working in a nursing home, meeting and chatting up with elders. So when you get over there, that's the big joke everyone's laughing about. The past president of Italy is now meeting with old people and just talking with them and telling his story.
I think he was the prime minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, isn't that like the head of Italy?
I don't know, is it?
Yeah, that's like their president.
I don't know.
What? Yeah.
Prime minister, same thing as the president?
Yes.
Gotta Google that shit, though.
You want to waste a Google on that, but come on, right? That's prime minister of Britain, same thing, Great Britain.
Anyway, I don't know what he got. I don't know what he got indicted for, but he's 77 years old himself. Should he be in the home?
Wow, man. Has he still got that wife, or did she stick with him?
He had like girlfriends, didn't he?
Yes. No, he had that hot wife who was like an actress or something. Speaking of old Italian men, we're going to wrap this Italian news up with Armand Assante.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Played Gotti in the HBO special in 2000.
Have you heard about this guy?
Not recently. I thought he died.
No, he may. He's a poor guy, though. He's going bankrupt. He is bankrupt. And he just had to borrow. See, he has a girlfriend. Apparently, somehow, his girlfriend stole $40,000 off the credit card of actor Josh Brolin through a connection with Armand Assante. And now he's trying to help her in jail and stuff. And he had to borrow $2,000 from the lawyer. And he's completely broke. 64 years old. He's got a big farm, and he's about to lose it. Ah, poor guy.
What happened to him?
Italians are not good with cash.
Wait, it says here, Armand Assante's girlfriend was charged with raking up a $40,000 bill on Josh Brolin's credit card. So why does she have Brolin's credit card if she's Assante's girlfriend?
Well, I think that's why he's trying to help her out, because I think, you know, him being broke, that maybe they would...
Oh, he's trying to pay that back.
Well, maybe he was like, she got hold of Brolin shit through Armand. I don't know. What are you doing to a chick that needs 40 grand? I mean, that's how broke you are, that your chick's stealing from other actors? What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened with him.
I always had him pegged for living in a villa somewhere where you're going to visit, just sipping Campagnari or Campari or whatever the hell.
Campagnari. Yeah, no, I thought this guy would be like living next to Clooney in Lake Como.
God, I've always wished I could get invited there, man.
Don't you wish you could just get invited to one of these that guy's parties?
Absolutely. And let Jimmy from Boston take notice of that. Baby, you want to go to Clooney's house? Yeah, absolutely. What would you rather if you were invited for a long weekend to discuss business? You're going to be in a movie, quite possibly, directed by Spielberg, starring Clooney, all right? Now, for the 4th of July weekend, this movie's not going to start filming until September. Spielberg wants to invite you out to the Hamptons on a private jet to spend a long weekend with him and the family at their mansion, and friends and stuff are going to visit fireworks in the Hamptons, Elon Lana, and discuss the film. But he has no problem with, at the same time, Clooney is inviting you to Lake Como for a long 4th of July weekend. Same deal, private plane over there.
Straight. Yeah, I gotta go Clooney.
Gotta go Clooney, right?
Go Clooney, Lake Como.
Basically, you're blowing off Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
I'd be like, Steve, it's not you, it's the lake. It's the lake. Yeah,
I gotta see the lake, and I gotta go to Italy. I mean, I go to Hamptons any day of the week. I gotta go to the Como. What are you drinking?
Coffee, man. Of course I'm drinking coffee.
What are you down a day?
Coffee? I'd say about maybe 3 to 4 cups all day, but you got to understand, I drink it lukewarm all day. I just sip it here and there.
Boy, that was some good peeing.
And is it more of a taste thing for you, or is it more of a caffeine jolt?
Oh, the taste. I love it. I mean, like, I'm mowing the lawn today. I got my coffee out back. I go to get my coffee. There's a fly in my coffee floating. I just scoop the fly out. I still drink the coffee, man.
Oh, man. You scoop a fly out of the coffee?
Bro, you're going to Tuscany, man. I'm living the life. What do you think they do there? You think they get a little fly in their cappuccino and they go, hey, make another.
Listen, I think if anything lands in your drink, I think the drink's killed.
That's ridiculous, man. You can eat a fly. Yesterday I was digging, and I got a big-ass worm, and I gave it to Sadie, and I was like, hey, check it out. And you got to stay close, because she's at that age. She'll put anything in her mouth, even a worm. And she pulled the goddamn thing apart and put them both down, and both parts were still wiggling and shit. And I'm like, we just murdered a worm, dude. I'm in a weird phase. I caught a bug in the room upstairs last night, and I cupped it, and Jackie goes, you're literally fucking going to go downstairs and let that out. I said, yep. And I just went down and I let the bug out.
Wow.
Well, that's a phase. I don't know what's going on with that, right?
Yeah, that's a sensitivity, man.
Well, you know, it's like, what if you were a bug and you're hanging out all of a sudden, your life, that's it. It's over. It's over just because you just smacked it for no reason.
I don't know. I tend to get violent when I see like a spider on the wall. It's a full killing.
Yeah, but I think they're good. They're good to have. They eat other bugs, man. I mean, not in your house, but
in the house. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know, man. Just see a spider. It's got to die.
Obviously, you see a butterfly. There's no kill, right?
Yeah, no butterfly. For some odd reason, Lana has a huge love for butterflies, and you know, to me, a butterfly is beautiful. Spider, you know, come on. You see a spider in the bed, you fly out of the bed. You see a butterfly, you hope it lands on your forehead.
It might be illegal to kill butterflies, man. I know there's less and less of them, but what about a ladybug?
Ladybug, I don't freak out. Ladybug, I'd let out.
You don't kill, right? See, that's it. That's it. Same okay. Method we had with animals last week.
Okay, what about ants?
No, I'll wipe out a fucking colony while I'm waiting for a bus. that's different, man.
You got ants in the house? They're getting raided. The whole thing. I'll raid the whole thing. And speaking of bugs and animals, here's something for you. I went out with a buddy of mine and his wife last night, Lana and I, and good friend, nice guys. First time I went to his house, and he had a bird.
Yeah.
And the first thing they tell me when I walked into the house, don't go near the bird. I go, why? He bites. And the bird was outside the cage.
Oh, really?
Now, first of all, a bird, I think, is kind of a weird animal or a weird pet to have.
I agree.
And if you're going to have it, it has to do something fabulous in order for you to justify having it. So if I walked in and the bird all of a sudden flew on my shoulder and said, nice outfit, that's fantastic.
Oh, forget it.
Right? But
unbelievable.
For you to tell me that the bird could literally take my ear off at any moment, I don't see the purpose of having the damn thing.
No, I mean, when a guest comes to your home, you should, if anything, have to warn the animal that there's a guest coming, not vice versa. Like, you know, look at the bird and say, "One, I don't know, man, get the bird out of the room. We need this."
I just think a bird is more hassle than it's worth. I mean, the cage alone with the newspaper and the shit on the newspaper. I don't know. I grew up wanting a large bird, but now that I look at what's involved in housing the damn thing, you could take it. You could have it.
Well, what kind of bird are we talking about?
It was a little, you know, not a parakeet, but not a, what's the big ones? Somewhere in between a parakeet and a, what's the big frickin' colored birds?
What do you mean, how big? But peacock?
Like, you know, ones that, those large.
I don't know, what are you talking, pelican? Parrot, pelican, colorful bird, I don't know, man.
Colorful bird, what is,
Blue Jay?
Come on, man. House bird, what is it?
I don't know house birds, man. I don't know.
It will come to me.
Now, this thing, can you train a bird, if you leave the cage door open, to actually go to the bathroom in the cage, but feel free to fly around?
We had a parakeet growing up, and the thing was dumber than rocks. So it shit wherever it wanted to shit. It flew into mirrors. It was pretty dumb.
So you had one too then. So you know.
Yeah, growing up I had one. But we were kids and we're like, oh, look at the birdie, and it was a consolation to us because my dad didn't want to get a dog because he's like, who's gonna take care of the dog? Right. So we got a bird and we woke up one morning and my sister, she was about, I don't know, 4 years old, looked at the bottom of the cage and called me over and said, look. His name was Charlie. Charlie's sleeping. He's dead. He's belly up on the newspaper. And my sister thinks he's sleeping.
And that's a wrap. We didn't replace the bird with another bird?
We buried it in the back, and that was the end of that.
That's it.
We had two birds growing up, Pasquale and Charlie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I they were parakeets.
It's weird to have a bird. I had a hamster. We wanted a dog. We had a hamster.
That's another weird pet.
It is, man. It was named Cornbread after Cornbread Maxwell on the Celtics. I was a huge Celtic fan. And on the Saturdays, to give it a little, not so much exercise, but my dad would make me clean the hamster cage every Saturday. Oh, it was the fucking worst. I had to dump all them wood chips out and then scrub that thing out. And in the corners is where all the shit would get caked. So I'd have to use the scraper that you paint scraper and scrape the shit out and hose it and then dry it and then spray it with Windex, clean it. And in the meantime, I would put Cornbread in one of those plastic balls and he would just play all around the kitchen. And, you know how they make them? They can walk around in a plastic ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple times it would hit the wall so hard that the top would come off, and then it would always run. It would get out of the bowl, and it would go underneath the heater. Liked it because it was warm. And my mother would be like, Cornbread's under the heater, this fucking thing. And then it bit me. And once you bite, that's it. I liked it, and then it bit me. I'm like, I fucking hate you.
What is the life expectancy on that? How long did you have the damn thing before it died?
I gotta be honest. I kind of shut down the food supply after it bit me.
What, you starved the damn thing?
I think it was a combination of giving it less food and it sort of writing on the wall, and I think it kind of like, you know, I don't know, man. I think I did. I kind of stopped feeding it, man. I was pissed. But basically, I don't know, man. I think about a year or two on those things.
Yeah, nah, I never wanted one of those. Nah, I went over to people's houses and sometimes they had a snake. That's another
one. Oh, God. That's the worst.
They got this big, it's almost like a fish tank, and then they got the snake. But I have to tell you, when they fed the snake, it's pretty amazing. Have you ever seen a snake eat live?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
It's pretty intense. I mean, they literally wrap the whole body of it, choke it out, and then eat it whole. Yeah, it's pretty amazing to watch.
If I had a snake like that, all night long, I'd be waking up, checking with the flashlight, making sure it's still in the tank.
You woke up to see if the light was in the tank?
No, if I had to kill a snake, like these pythons and shit.
Yeah.
I would wake up every hour or so, hit it with a flashlight, hit the tank to make sure the goddamn thing was still in there.
Oh.
I mean, how could you get a good night's sleep with a fucking snake in the house? Oh.
You imagine waking up and the snake is not there?
That
literally, if the snake is not in the cage,
yes,
you would have to move out of the house until you found it, right?
Absolutely. I'm out. We're moving. Absolutely. I had a friend growing up who had one of these 3-foot snakes, and once in a while it would get out, and he'd be like, oh, it's got out. It usually goes behind the couch or in certain spots. And I'm like, literally, I was picking him up. I'm like, I'll wait outside, dude. That's fucking so nasty, man. No. I mean, I went hiking last week with Jackie and came across a frog. And there's a lot of frogs around here. And she picked it up. Put it in a hand, and it peed in a hand.
Ooh, that's...
Yeah.
Isn't that... you get like a rash from that, right?
No, man. But then I pet the tip of the frog, and she's like... Because she goes, don't pet it. If you do, they get nervous and they pee. And sure enough, I put my finger down its back. Ugh, it was so nasty.
Oh,
and
they got it. I check that out. The frog piss has to be poison. No.
I don't know. I mean, you think of the Indians and shit, man. They say you could lick the back of a frog and the frog gives off some sort of chemical that gets you fucking, like, hallucinatory, like peyote, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. All right. In closing here, my neighbors moved, bro. The ones I don't like, they moved out.
Moved out, put the house for sale, or moved out for temporary?
I thought maybe temporary, because they had a lot of shit taken, but not everything. And I'm like, maybe they're just going to their farm for the summer. Jackie spoke to them yesterday, and the guy's like, yeah, we always want to be part of a community. But, you know, we all really just miss the farm, which is like 35, 40 minutes away. So, yeah, they're gone. But his kids, though, man, they need to be in this environment, man. They're already shy, these girls. Because they live on the farm. It is the question. I would say hi to these girls, 5 and 8. Every day I'd see them out front. Hi, girls. Hi. And the mom always says hi, but the girls always look away. You know, like that shy look away.
Yeah.
So about 2-3 weeks ago, I just stopped saying hi to them, which is so weird to walk right past the 5-year-old cute little girl on a swing and not even say hi.
But I don't see a problem with it, but go ahead.
I shut it down. That's what I did. I just shut it down.
Shut it down. They want to say hi, then you shut it down.
I so bad want to say, girls, you say hi when somebody says hi to you, but I can't do that.
Well, you know, that's the problem. There was an article that just came out. A British nanny wrote an article in regards to why today's parents are failing. And one of the points in the article was we've lost the village. And I'd like to hit some of the points in the article, and I want to see if you do this, you being a parent. Number one, it says, we have a fear of our children now. And the example they give is, it's called the sippy cup test. So let's say you gave Sadie a pink sippy cup and she wants to drink out of the blue sippy cup. Do you change the liquid into the blue or do you just say, drink it out of the pink?
Oh, my God. Drink it out of the pink or go to bed and get a headache because you're dehydrated. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, well, in this article, they're saying more often than not, the mom will be afraid of the kid and they will change it because there will be like a tantrum coming up and they want to deal with the tantrum.
That's what it is, man. They don't want to deal with the tantrum. But if you deal with that shit at a young age and let them know right away they're not going to always get their way, you're making your life easier in the long haul.
That's what I say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be my daughter's best friend. Go get a best friend. That's why I moved to a town with sidewalks. Go find a best friend. I'm your dad. I'm your dad.
Yeah, there's got to be a dad-daughter, dad-son there. This ain't like I'm hanging out with my buddy. This is, I had a fear of my parents. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. My father, when I got in trouble, my mother would, you know, my father would be the guy who you'd be scared of.
Of course.
It wouldn't be, I couldn't wait home for dad to get home so we could hold hands.
No, man. It was either with my father, probably like yours. It was always either I was avoiding him because I did something wrong and he's mad at me, or, oh my God, we're having a blast together. We're doing this, we're doing that. There's no middle ground, man, you know?
Yeah, no gray area.
So, like, yesterday, Sadie's eating dinner, and now she likes to take her food and hold it over a tray and drop it on the floor. And she's looking at Jackie and giving that grin. Jackie's like, don't do it, don't do it. And she does it. Jackie grabs her wrist. What, she's 13 months old, gives her a nice smack on the hand.
Ah, see?
She starts crying like crazy, and we just eat. We eat crying.
That's it. The little slap to the wrist doesn't hurt no one.
When was the last time you saw a kid in a goddamn tree?
Oh, since I was in a tree when I was 10.
I mean, could you even suggest it? The kid will look at you like, the fuck would I want to go up in a tree for?
Yeah, well, why? Because they got a tree app. Where now it simulates that they're in a tree.
All right, well, listen, man. Belated honeymoon. Have a great time. Safe travels. And,
all right, thanks. Where can we see you this week?
I'll be at Laugh Boston in downtown Boston, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so see me there too, man.
Great town, Boston. Go out and see Pete.
All right, bro.
All right, man.
Have a good one. Later.
The show has ended.
To me, a butterfly is beautiful. Spider, you know, come on. You see a spider in the bed? You fly out of the bed. You see a butterfly, you hoping it lands on your forehead.
Recording.
Work in progress. Take one. What are they doing in the hyacinth house? What are they doing in the hyacinth house to please the lions this day? I need a brand new friend, doesn't bother me. I need a brand new friend who doesn't trouble me. I need somebody who doesn't need me. I feel the bathroom is clear, and I know that someone is near. I feel that somebody's following me. Oh yeah, yeah. Why did you throw that jack of hearts away? Why did you throw that jack of hearts away? Why did you throw that jack of hearts away? It was the it was the only card in the deck I had left to play. What are they doing in the hyacinth house to please the lions this day? But I'll say it again.